Morning. Scripture reading this morning is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you in these things, which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which the angels long to look into. In our previous studies in 1 Peter chapter 1, we've noticed that Peter focused our attention on the theme of our salvation. In verses 1 and 2, he attributed it to the grace and the foreknowledge of God. In verses 3 through 5, he spoke of the future promise of salvation, calling it our inheritance, which is reserved in heaven. And in verses 6 through 9, he stated that our salvation was the outcome of our faith. In the text that we have just read this morning, Peter focuses our attention on how it is that we come to have knowledge about this salvation. And so it's interesting that Peter really calls our attention to three different entities, two of which play an important part in the process of God proclaiming the message of salvation to us, and another that people often fix a lot of attention upon, but they actually have nothing to do with God's delivering of his message to us concerning our salvation. So that's the topic of our lesson, our focus on the text that we've read, to look at these three entities, the prophets, the preachers, and the angels. So let's begin with the matter of the prophets. We begin by simply answering the question, who are these prophets? What did Peter have in mind when he referred us to the prophets? And in this context, he is talking primarily about the Old Testament prophets. The basic meaning that we would look at, and the way people basically look at the word prophet today, is that a prophet is someone who speaks an inspired message. For most people today, they think of a prophet who speaks inspired and forecasts the future. But looking to the future is not always an essential part of the word prophesy. Prophesy simply means to speak on behalf of another. The reason why I know that Peter has in mind the Old Testament prophets is that he speaks in the past tense about this. And so he's not speaking about prophets at this point that they may have had in New Testament days, although we believe there were those people, and we'll talk about them in just a minute. But in this first part, he's talking about these Old Testament prophets. Now, as we look back on the work of the Old Testament prophets, we basically can classify them in two ways. The first are what is known as literary prophets. And that term just simply describes those prophets in the Old Testament who not only spoke their message, but also recorded their message in written form. And of course, that includes the 16 prophets of the Old Testament that are the authors of the books we call the major and the minor prophets, beginning with Isaiah all the way through Malachi. It would also include Samuel as a prophet, who also wrote most of 1 and 2 Samuel. And so it would include Moses and David, because both of them wrote Scripture and did it by inspiration. The second group is called the non-literary prophets. And we can't say for certain that they never wrote anything down. What we can say for certain is that it was not recorded under their name in Scripture and preserved for us as a separate book. What we know about these prophets and their message is what is recorded for us by other inspired writers of the Old Testament era. These are men like Elisha and Elijah, where we're told a lot about their work in the Kings. But it also includes prophets such as Nathan, who we know what he spoke to David because that's also recorded in the Kings. And there are a number of those that are named, and of course we also know from the book of Judges that there's at least one unnamed prophet that was sent, or Kings, excuse me, that was sent to Jeroboam in the northern kingdom when they erected the golden calves at Dan and Bethel. So there were a lot of non-literary prophets, and there were those who actually wrote down those books. But the question is, what does Peter really say about these men? Well, the first thing he says about them is that they're servants of God. And that's affirmed in Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 25, where it says, "Since the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt, until this day I have sent you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising early and sending them." So since Jeremiah says it began when you came out of Egypt, that would identify Moses as one of those prophets. Now, in describing these people, Peter uses the Greek word diakonēs, which is where we get our English word deacon from. And then when you study elders and deacons, it is stressed that that word means servant. So it's servant not in the sense of being a bondservant or a slave, but a servant in the sense that their work serves another. And Peter says these men are servants of God. They served as God's spokespeople. And that, again, is the basic meaning of the word prophet, to speak on behalf of another people, person. But he also says something else that's really important about them. He says they were our servants. So as Peter points them back to the Old Testament prophets, he said they were serving God, but they were really serving us. That is, their message was intended for us. The things that they said about what we experience as Christians was their way of providing us service. And that's affirmed several times in Scripture. In Romans 15 and verse 4, Paul says, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through the perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope." And again, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11, "Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." And so, in giving their prophecies as servants of God, Peter said they were really our servants. They did it for our benefit. And so he talks about the message of these prophets. And the first thing he says about it is their message was our salvation in verses 9 and 10. In verse 9, which we studied the last time I presented these lessons, he said, "You obtained the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." And so as he progresses into the passage we're looking at today, Peter is still talking about this topic of the salvation of our souls. But that's not the only content of their prophecies, and we admit that. But Peter is focused on their mission in bringing about our salvation. And so he says, "They served you by presenting the message of your salvation." The second thing he says about them is their message was the message of grace in verses 10 and 11 of chapter 1. Now, we recognize, and we've heard sermons on grace, and we know that grace basically means favor, somebody bestowing a favor or a blessing upon another. But Peter is not talking in the great generalities about faith. He's identified the specific aspect of grace that these prophets talked about, because he said they looked to the person or time that the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as predicting the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. Now, Peter is not denying prophecy, such as when Isaiah prophesies that Cyrus will allow the Jews to return from captivity, that things we'll talk about in our Isaiah class as we get there. That's still inspired prophecy, and they were God's servants, but Peter only has in mind the things they are saying in relationship to our salvation. And so he says, they prophesied of the coming of this one who would suffer and die to provide you salvation. And it's interesting to note that Jesus said they served that purpose. In Luke 24, as he's getting ready to ascend, and he has his disciples together after his resurrection, he says in verse 26 of Luke 24, was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. And so he said, they were talking about me. And that's what Peter is affirming. Maybe he's affirming it because he learned the lesson that Jesus was teaching them in Luke 24, and he recognized the importance of that message in the prophets. One other point about that, and we'll move to the second point, is that Peter says the prophets did not know of what they were speaking. As they made these prophecies, they did not comprehend what it was all about. Now, that may be difficult for us, particularly I think about when I read a passage like Isaiah chapter 53. Does that mean Isaiah had no idea of who he was describing? And so I think the answer to that is they did not connect it with Jesus of Nazareth. They did not connect it with the one who came and is revealed to us in the New Testament. They knew God was making those promises, but they really did not understand and have an identity of who that would be. Peter actually says they made careful searches and inquiries into the meaning of what they were saying. And we don't know the nature of those searches, but what we do know is that God assured them that their purpose was to benefit those who were coming after them. And that was the role of those. Well, let's talk for just a couple of minutes about preachers then. But Peter mentions them in chapter 1 and verse 12. And the purpose of preaching is expressed by Peter in these verses basically in two things. He explains two things preachers do. First of all, preachers proclaim or they announce. That is the word there is angelio. It's the word we get angel from, but that's because all angels do are they announce things. They don't reveal them, they announce them, as the angel Gabriel announced to Mary she was going to give birth to the Son of God. And so the basic idea is that of making a proclamation or announcement of what is the case. And so in this case, the messianic message was revealed to the prophets, but preachers do what those prophets could not do. They can make the connection between those prophecies and the person of Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah. And so the New Testament preachers said, this Messiah that you were expecting, this is him. This is Jesus of Nazareth. And the second thing the preachers do is they evangelize. And that's the word there that describes the type of proclamation that the preacher makes. It is a proclamation with the intent not just to inform, but to provide the motive for the hearer to embrace the truth that the message contains. So Peter was focusing here on what we would call inspired preaching. The messengers that proclaimed the message of Christ through the Holy Spirit. They preached the gospel as they were enabled to preach it by the Holy Spirit. And he identifies the apostles. That would include the 12 and the apostle Paul as they revealed the scripture to us. And now he talks about prophets again, but now he is talking about prophets of the gospel. That are those who function through inspiration of the Holy Spirit to complete the revelation of God's plan for salvation through Jesus Christ. And that was really Peter's point in this passage, that the message that Christians believe is the inspired message from God that Jesus Christ is their Savior and that Jesus Christ's death and suffering upon the cross was for the purpose of bringing about their salvation. Before we leave that, though, we would also point out that the New Testament did anticipate a time when the gospel would need to be preached by uninspired men as well. And so we look to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, where Paul tells Timothy, "The things which you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust them to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So not all preaching is inspired preaching. Not all preachers, and in fact today no preacher today, has the Spirit of God speaking for them. We preach and teach today because we have been taught and learned the things that the apostles and the prophets who revealed the New Testament to us have given us. Well, then there's that third category that are considered in this passage, and that are the angels. And Peter's very brief about those angels, and it's a good thing because we're about out of time. First of all, he says these angels, and they are simply a heavenly order of created being. As we mentioned, they were often used to announce a message that was given them by God. But of this matter of the revelation of salvation in the person of Jesus Christ, Peter basically says they were uninformed observers of the prophetic process. They had no more knowledge or meaning of what the prophets were saying than the prophets themselves. Chapter 1 and verse 12. So, they had no role in the revelation of the gospel, in the making the promises concerning the salvation that was to come through Jesus Christ. Now, you may think that that's an insignificant thing, but here's the point on that. There are religions out there today that claim that they have revelation because angels gave it to them. But Peter said angels didn't know anything about this. They were as in the dark about the meaning of those prophecies as were the prophets when they made them. That means angels had to have that revealed to them. And so what they knew, God knew. And he gave them in the specific messages that they delivered. So in this passage of Scripture then, Peter has explained how God's message of salvation came to us. And so in the next lesson, which I believe on the schedule is next Sunday morning, what we're going to look at is what Peter says our response ought to be to this message that we have received through the work of the apostles and prophets. And that's what we'll look at next week. I believe Cliff is on the schedule for the prayer, and after that we'll go to our Bible.